You're listening to a message from The Gathering. Check us out on Facebook or our website at peopleintheircity.com. Now, prepare your heart for God to speak something powerful into your life.
Oh yeah, come on, how we doing? You guys good? It's good to be together. Hey, turn in your Bibles. If you brought your Bibles or click somewhere on your phone to John 17. John, don't just click anywhere on your phone. Click to the Bible app or something, right? John chapter 17, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And then you can also turn to Revelation 21. Revelation is the last book in your Bible. This is now week two of our series we started last week called Heaven. It's all about heaven. It's all about the afterlife and what we can really expect to experience in the life to come. And listen, I'm just going to tell you, family, my goal is to get you excited about heaven. Okay, I want you at Stoke Factor 5,000 when it comes to heaven, all right? I want you dreaming about heaven. I want you living with a holy imagination and excitement for heaven. I want you to raise your expectations of heaven now, because here's what you need to understand. Your view of heaven will impact the way you live life right here and now. Our mission as disciples of Jesus is to bring heavenly realities to earth here and now as we allow Jesus to be himself in and through us, so that more and more people can be drawn into his heavenly kingdom right here. I know we know this already at The Gathering, but it's good to remind ourselves. We remember, right, that this is about other people too, right? It's about other people. And so if you have a weak or unbiblical or confused view of heaven to come, you're probably not going to live the full disciple life of impact and significance where you bring heaven to earth here and now. So family, I want The Gathering Church, I want us to be known as the church where people just know when one of us shows up somewhere, they know we're bringing heaven with us. Come on, who wants that reputation? Who wants that? Because you know, a reputation is all, it's really all about being known by others for certain qualities or characteristics that you possess, right? There are relational aspects involved in a reputation. This past Christmas, my wife and I, for Christmas, we bought our two little boys, we bought them each their own mini electric dirt bike. And they are in heaven when they ride these dirt bikes. They actually asked me a few weeks ago, they said, "Dad, are there gonna be dirt bikes in heaven?" I said, "You know it." I said, "More like rocket bikes, boys. No helmets required." And so oftentimes Rachel and I, we go on family walks all around North Newton where we live. But Rachel and I walk and we let our boys ride their dirt bikes. And well, they ride way ahead down the street and then they turn around and come back to us as fast as they can. They are tearing North Newton up, y'all. But here's the part we love. We love watching when another car or a car is going to pass by, or maybe another person that's on a walk and they're going to pass by, and we can just watch our boys switch into show-off mode. Like trying to pop wheelies, even though they can't pop wheelies, but trying to, they go and jump off curbs, or they slam on the brakes and try and skid their tires while staring at the person in the face. Like, are you seeing what I'm doing right now? It's because they want to be known, right? They want to be noticed. They want other people to see them or know them as some kind of little professional dirt bike riders, right? Right? That's what they want to be known for right now. And all the dudes in the room can relate to this from when they were little kids. We all wanted things like that. But listen to me. We all want to be known. Here's my encouragement, though. Be known as the person who brings heaven. Be known as the person who brings heaven with you. I'm telling you, people will love you for that. People will like you for that. They'll think highly of you. Your level of influence will grow, but more importantly, your relationships will flourish. Watch this. Don't be known for relational drama. Don't be known for discouragement or anger or disappointment or bitterness or grudges or unforgiveness. Watch this. Listen, don't be known for being the person that's really good at giving the silent treatment. Don't be known for selfishness. Now, be known as the person who brings Jesus. Bring Jesus with you. Bring heaven with you. Be known as the person who allows the fruit of the Spirit to show up in and through them. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Come on. Those are not earthly qualities that we just possess on our own. That's heaven invading earth through us when we allow the Holy Spirit to work in and through us. Come on, so let heaven show up in and through you. Your relationships will flourish, your level of influence will grow, and you'll get to make disciples in the process and populate heaven at the same time. So last week, we started getting a glimpse of just how amazing heaven is, just a glimpse of what paradise is going to be like. But today, I want to focus in on who we're going to be there with and how amazing it's going to be there with them. So listen, we will be there with God and with his people. And I would submit, based on what we're going to see today, that it would not be heaven, obviously, without him, but even not without them. So listen to me. God has you at where you are in life right now. Yes, because he is drawing himself to you, but also because he has specific people in your life right now that he wants you to bring to heaven with you. Come on, Mr. and Mrs. Disciple. We don't want anyone else to miss out, right? So I want you to raise your expectations. I want you with high heavenly expectations. I want you dreaming about heaven, what it's going to be like, but I also want you to dream about what heaven is going to be like and who God is going to bring to heaven through you, who you're going to be there with. So let's keep diving deeper into the realities of heaven. Let's talk about heavenly relationships today, all right? Have you ever wondered what it's going to be like? I mean, to live life just with God? I mean, I know we do that right now, right? But I'm talking heaven one day, in real time, everyday life for eternity, just living life with God. What's that going to be like? What's it going to be like to be there with each other? What will our relationships be like then? How will they be different than they are right now? So now, just like last week, there are some myths about heaven that I think we need to continue to dismantle. Okay, there's this myth in particular that I've been aware of, and if we don't dismantle it, listen, it clouds our mind or it can confuse us about what our relationships are actually going to be like one day when we are in heaven. It's just something that continues to persist a little bit in the church, all right? So you ready for this myth that we need to dismantle today? Here's a heaven myth, okay? That it's this myth that we won't remember or maybe fully remember our previous life, this life on earth, when we get to heaven. This idea that we're gonna forget certain aspects of what happened here. Have you heard this? Thought about this? Some people, it's this idea that, oh, well, we're going to forget our sinful past. We won't remember those things anymore. Or we'll totally forget about the pain that we experienced in this life. Or some people even the idea that we will actually then forget about the people that we live life with here now that maybe don't end up in heaven one day. Okay, but listen, all of that impacts then whether or not we would actually remember each other. If we don't remember our lives, well, then people are wondering, will we remember each other and our relationships together when we get to heaven? Okay, listen, first off, there's numerous scriptures to refute this whole idea, okay? But even so, just think about it. I'm convinced that we wouldn't be able to fully appreciate heaven for what it is if we can't remember where we came from and just how good God has been to us right here and how good he's going to continue to be to us. We wouldn't be able to fully appreciate it. And listen, and not just individually, just for your own life, but together, with our lives together, it won't be fully heaven then if we don't remember together the lives that we lived and what Jesus has done for us together right now. I mean, we're a church, so we want to see Newton reborn, right? How much would it stink to actually see it happen here in this life, but then get to heaven and not remember what God did? No, come on, church, we will remember our lives and the goodness of God that is in them. We will remember in heaven that God gave up his one and only son, Jesus, to save us. Listen, we will remember in heaven that Jesus died to save us from our sins. We will remember in heaven that it was our sin that put Jesus on that cross. We will remember, we will know that Jesus took the full penalty and the full punishment that we deserve so that through his death and his burial and his resurrection, we can have eternal life with God. Okay, because think about this, all right? Heaven or eternal life, right? Heaven is the gift that God gives to people who give their lives to Jesus here in this life, that trust in, commit to, and rely upon him in this life. I mean, this is Romans 6:3. I'm going to read this. For the wages of sin is death, but the free, what? Anybody remember this? The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Or John 3:16, we all know this. For this is how God loved the world, that he so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish or die, but have. And it's the gift of eternal life. The gift of eternal life. Okay, how much less of a gift would it be if we can't even remember receiving it? How much less of a gift would it be if we can't even remember that it cost God everything to give it to us? Now, we will remember. You want one more verse on this? You got your Bibles open to John 17? John 17, we're going to read verse 3. Okay, and this is a prayer. This is Jesus praying to God about us. Okay, and just watch what he says. He's going to explain what eternal life really is. This is amazing. Watch. John 17:3, he says, and now this is eternal life. Watch. That they, that's us, right? That they know you, the only true God. Not forget about, but know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ. Know him too, whom you have sent. In fact, church, here's another reason I know we'll remember life here on earth, what God has done for us and what God did in and through us together, because according to what we just read right there, from God's eternal heavenly perspective, you have to see this, what we just read shows us that relationships are what matter the most to God. Relationships matter the most. Come on, did you see this? Jesus just said that eternal life is us knowing God. Eternal life is us knowing Jesus and therefore us being known by God. Is that what you see? Is that in your Bible? That's it, right? Now listen, I realize that social media and other things have potentially skewed the way we view relationships now. I mean, you can be friends with anybody on Facebook and you don't actually have to know them in real life, right? You can also defriend people on Facebook way easier than you can in real life too. That button comes in handy sometimes, doesn't it? Some of you don't want to admit it. But listen, in order for there to be a real relationship, I mean, you have to actually know the person, right? In fact, we would even say this, if let's say you're building a relationship or a relationship with someone, you would say, I'm getting to know that other person, right? Okay, so here's a question. Is it possible for you and I to know God right here and now? You better believe it. Come on. I wonder what that might then imply about eternal life and heaven. Come on, are they just some future thing that's going to happen one day, or is there a chance they can show up right here and right now? Right now, church family, eternal life starts here and now as you and I trust in, commit to, and rely upon Jesus and therefore begin having a relationship with the eternal God right now. It begins now as we give our lives to him here and now. In fact, the truth is, listen, if you do not know him in this life, you will not know him in the life to come. Listen, let me say it this way. If you choose to live your life separately from God here and now, if you choose to not know him here and now, then you will remain separated from him forever. Okay, and that's called hell. Do you remember what Jesus says he's going to say to those people that won't be allowed into heaven on judgment day? Do you remember what he says to them? He's going to say, "Away from me." In other words, you need to be separated from me. Why? He says, because I never knew you. He's talking about in this life. I never knew you. In 2 Thessalonians 1, Paul writes that, among other things, hell will include eternal separation, forever separated from the presence of God. Okay, and friends, you have to realize that's what we deserve. That's what we deserve. If not, because think about this, if that's not what we deserve, then eternal life isn't actually a gift that we receive. And so get this, do you realize that Jesus already experienced that separation for us on our behalf? Think about this, as he hung on the cross, he famously quoted Psalm 55. You guys would remember this, where he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? In other words, the meaning of that, why have you turned your back on me? Or you can really look this up. Here's what it implies. Why have you taken your presence away from me? And listen, church, this wasn't simply theatrics on the part of Jesus. He wasn't just exaggerating. He wasn't just being dramatic. Listen, help me out. Did Jesus pay the full price, the full penalty? Did he take the full punishment that we deserve? Or did he just take just a little bit of it? Or was he just kind of pretending to take some of it while he was up on the cross? No, come on, Romans 3:24. He paid the full price for us. He took the full punishment. Listen, if Jesus did not pay the full penalty for you and me, then you and I have not yet been set free, which means you and I do not have eternal life right now, and we won't have it when we die either. In fact, it means we are still sentenced to hell. But come on, church, do you see how loving our God really is? That he took the full penalty. He took the full punishment. Hell is what we deserve, to be forever separated from God, shut out from his presence. But Jesus, no, he says, so that we could receive what we do not deserve, so that we could receive the opportunity to have the gift of eternal life. Jesus then took the penalty. He experienced the punishment. He experienced the separation so that we can have the relationship with God, the family, and the paradise that comes with it. We will remember where we came from. We will remember that what Jesus has done for us. We will only be in heaven precisely because of what Jesus has done for us. And friends, I don't know about you, but the more and more I begin to understand exactly what it is Jesus did for me, the more and more I understand exactly what it is he went through for me, the sweeter and sweeter heaven becomes. The more I appreciate the gift. I said last week, I can't wait to be in heaven and to look Jesus in the eyes and say, thank you. Thank you. Because the more and more I understand what it is that he actually went through for me, the more and more I realize how much he loves me. And the more I realize how much he loves me, the more it makes me love him back. And the more I love him back, the more it makes me want to live for him right here and right now. And the more I live for him right here and right now, the more I fall in love with the things that he's in love with. So the more I fall in love with all the people around me, and more I want to do anything and everything I can to help everybody know God now. I don't want anyone to miss out. I don't want anyone to miss out on relationship with God here and now and therefore in the life to come. Family, relationship with God is where? Right here on earth? That's heaven on earth right here and right now. You want heaven on earth? That's where it's found, in relationship with God. Right here, and it's mind-blowing right here and right now. Do you know how mind-blowing it's going to be one day? You guys want to get another big glimpse of heaven today? You want to see? Just try and get an idea of what this is going to be like. You got your Bible still open to Revelation 21. Revelation 21. We are given an eyeful of the fulfillment of God's plan. So listen, heaven exists right now. And it's paradise right now. God is there. Everybody who's died and gone to heaven before us, man, they are there. They are living life together to the full. In fact, I would even submit that they are more alive than you and I are right now. I mean, life in heaven is paradise right now. But we need to know, heaven will not always remain separated from the earth. And so I want us to see the fulfillment of God's plan so that we can also see the context in which we're going to live life together with God in heaven. You guys ready for this? Revelation 21. We're going to read verses 1 through 7. Now, this is John, the apostle, or one of the 12 disciples of Jesus. He's at the end of his life, and Jesus gave him a heavenly vision of what's to come. Actually, it says that he was immediately taken up in the spirit. He was taken up into heaven, and he was shown what's coming one day, the fulfillment of God's plan. Okay, so here's what he saw. Here's what he writes. He says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the old heaven and the old earth," this one we're on right now, "had disappeared. And the sea was gone also. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down." Remember last week we tried just to imagine what this could be like. Our closest guess was Wakanda. Right? Or maybe where the elves lived on the Lord of the Rings, for all the nerds in here, right? But elves in Wakanda got nothing on Jesus, right? But something otherworldly, something so advanced, something so unbelievable. The new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, okay, to the earth. Coming to the earth like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. This is heaven and earth colliding right here. He says, verse 3, "I heard a loud shout from the throne of God, saying, 'Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them.'" In verse 4, church, watch the relational benefits of this. Watch this. "He will wipe every tear from their eyes." Okay, not our memories, but every tear. He'll wipe away. This is, church, this is everlasting healing. Every tear, he'll wipe away every ounce of pain. He'll wipe away every ounce of sin, everything we've ever done to cause pain, every bit of shame, every bit of regret, every bit of temptation, every bit of hiding, every bit of selfishness gone. He says, "And there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain." Come on, who's with me? Who can't wait? All these things, watch this, are gone forever. Forever. It's paradise. And the one sitting on the throne said, this is God speaking. He said, "Look, I am making everything new." And then John says, "Then he said to me, 'Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true.'" In other words, this is happening. This day is coming. And he also said, "It is finished. It's decided. It's done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty in this life," to all who want Jesus in this life, okay, "all these, to all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life," eternal life. There it is. All who are victorious in this life with Jesus, all who are victorious with Jesus in this life will inherit all these blessings, paradise. And he says, "And I will be their God, and they will be my children." Church family, that's the fulfillment of God's plan. You need to know, this is everything God ever wanted. It's everything he always intended way back from the very beginning, even in the garden. He wanted a family. He wanted children to call his own. He wanted a family to love, and a family that would love him back, and a family that would love each other, and a family that would live there with him together in paradise. And so you can see it, like, our choice to sin interrupted that plan. Okay, in fact, our choice to sin disqualified us from being a part of his family. But God loves you so much. He loves me so much that he refused to give up on his dream. He said, there's no way. In fact, you can find this. You can find his dream, his plan. It's a phrase that's planted all throughout the scriptures. You will find it over and over again, like he just puts it in there to remind his people, this is what I've been planning. This is where we're going. This is where I'm taking you. Over and over, you'll see this where he says, "I will be their God." There's a day coming. "I will be their God, and they will be my people. I will be their father, and they will be my children. I will be their God, and we will be family, and it will be paradise." But before the plan could be fulfilled, our sin had to be accounted for. And so Jesus, in love, said, "I'll go." I I'll take the punishment. I'll take the full penalty. I'll take the separation and the death that they deserve, so that if they will trust in, commit to, and rely upon me in this life, if they'll live for me in this life, if they'll know me in this life, if they'll be victorious in me in this life, if they'll enter into my heavenly kingdom in this life, then they'll get to enter into and live for eternity in the heavenly kingdom to come. So again, what will it be like to live there together with God? What will our relationships be like? Okay, think about this. Just picture this in your mind. Have you ever, in this life, this is the only life you've lived, okay? But have you ever been in a loving, I mean deep, committed relationship? Have you ever been in a loving, deep, committed relationship? And maybe it's with a spouse, maybe it's with a family member, maybe it's even just a best friend that you love, that you're committed to. It's a deep relationship. Have you ever been in a relationship like that that's had zero tears? That's been completely void of any heartache? Have you ever been in a deep, committed, loving, growing relationship here that hasn't had any pain, no sorrow, no shame, no relational awkwardness, no regret, no blame, no silent treatments? Have you ever experienced a loving relationship like that before in your life? No, you have not. Right? No, you have not. No, I mean, we in our family, we experience tears on a regular basis just as we try to navigate properly how to share Lego pieces. So come on, so I got an amen down here somewhere, man. Come on. Each and every one of us has caused our fair share of relational pain, haven't we? And we've also received our fair share of relational pain. I mean, if you've been married, you know what I'm talking about, right? But hey, even if you haven't been married, if you've just been born, you know what I'm talking about, right? But gathering family, listen, that was never a part of God's original plan. And so I want you to see this. That's a result of our sin and selfishness. Our sin and selfishness causes that. So stick with me. Here's what's so cool, though. The only relationship you've ever been in or experienced so far in this life where you weren't on the receiving end of any sin or any selfishness is if you've been in a relationship with God, if you've known Him. I'm telling you, because God has never acted sinfully or selfishly towards you. I mean, we just saw how unselfish Jesus was for all of us, right? But come on, that doesn't mean that God hasn't been on the receiving end of sin and selfishness from us. We know how to dish it out, don't we? I mean, even to God. No, God, I won't do that. Are you crazy? No, there's no way I will give that to you, God. This is mine. No. I can't believe you let this happen. This is all your fault. No, I don't trust you I can't trust you for that to happen. No way. Come on, it goes on and on. God, I know you want me to stop this thing that I'm doing right now, but I mean, let's face it, you'll forgive me. You're kind of a pushover, so I'm just going to keep doing it anyway. Right, we know how to dish it out. And then here's what we do. And this has been happening ever since Adam and Eve. We hide then. We try to cover up then. We don't want to show our face to God. We're ashamed. And all that impacts our relationship with God right now. But it also impacts all the other relationships we have with the people in our lives around us. We don't want to share. We want to take. We don't want to serve. We want to be served. We insult. We tear down. We cause pain. We withhold forgiveness. We give the silent treatment. And family, quite frankly, we end up living in and experiencing hell on earth in the midst of our sin and selfishness. Okay, but now, imagine a place where every ounce of sin and selfishness are gone forever. I mean, every ounce. And I know it's hard to imagine that. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, okay? But let's use our holy imaginations. Imagine a place where you relate to God and others relate to you with zero sin and selfishness getting in the way. Can you begin to imagine that? Listen, that's called paradise. That's unbelievable. The opposite, think about it, the opposite of selfishness is love. That you will never hear someone in heaven say, oh, I fell out of love. That will not happen. The opposite of shame and hiding is openness and transparency. The opposite of the silent treatment is affirmation and encouragement. Church, I don't know exactly what it'll feel like, but just try and imagine this. Just think about this. There will only be pure, unfiltered, holy, sinless, and complete communication. No miscommunication ever. No misunderstandings ever. Do you know how much we hide motives and even try to manipulate people in the way we talk to them right now? I mean, we say one thing, but we kind of mean another because we're hoping to kind of get our way in something. Do you know how passive aggressive we can be with our language right now? We say one thing, but we put just enough of a twist on it so that it digs in and hurts. And so maybe we can make a point or try to get our way. None of that. None of that. Do you know how much we just hide in the way we talk? We've got feelings going on, or we've got emotions or motives, and we just try to hide it as we're talking. We don't let those things come to the surface or let those things get out. None of that. Not with each other, not with God. No hiding from God. No resisting God. Only running to and worshiping and loving and giving yourself wholly to God and being loved and delighted in by God. I know many of us have a hard time. Listen, with so much grace, many of us have a hard time just believing and accepting the fact that God loves us. God loves you right now. He loves you right now. I know we can get clouded in our minds. Like our sin can interfere with our understanding of that. But listen, He's not holding a grudge against you now. Have you given your life to Jesus? He's not holding a grudge against you. Okay, He's not going to hold a grudge against you then. You'll never have to enter into His presence. You don't even have to do this now, but you don't have to enter into His presence wondering, I wonder if God's mad at me. I wonder if I should be ashamed about something. Never again. No, He'll delight in you. He delights in you now. He will delight in you. I don't know. I can only imagine what it's going to feel like, what it's going to be like to experience that, an unconditional love and acceptance. Like, I don't think we can comprehend right now. But that doesn't mean it's not reality. And that's coming for you. And hey, think of the family aspect then. No hiding. No weirdness. No relational awkwardness between us. Like, I know some of us would even, we're in here and we might say, I come from a dysfunctional family, okay? Not anymore, baby. Listen to me. Heaven will be full of a family that functions. It's going to function well. And family, we will remember each other. In fact, we will know each other more than we can possibly even know each other now. No hiding, no covering up ever. And listen, not just with each other, but think about this. We'll be family with every person who's known God since God created mankind. We'll be family with every person who's going to come after us that knows God. I mean, I'm thinking about even the past. We're going to be hanging out with Moses. I'm going to be hanging out with King David. I'm going to be hanging out with Samson. I'm going to be like, dude, remember that one time when you tied 300 squirrels together and you lit them on fire and burned down the Philistines' fields? That was a pretty baller move, dude. Some of you don't know that. You got to read your Bibles. Man, it's a good story. We will have an eternity. Some of you got worried about the squirrels right then. I think God led them into heaven. Oh, gosh. All right. We will have an eternity to know God. We'll have an eternity to get to know each other. We'll have an eternity, get this, you'll get to know each and every person in the family of God. Can you believe that? You'll get to know them all. You've even got new best friends out there right now that maybe they're alive somewhere in the world right now. Maybe they lived at some point in the past, or maybe they're still yet to live in the future. You got best friends out there that you're not even going to meet until you get there. It's incredible. However, so listen to me though, and this is key. I do believe with all my heart that the relationships we pour ourselves into now will be uniquely special then. Okay, and I believe that on multiple levels. For example, I believe my wife, Rachel, and I will still be best friends to the max in heaven because of the way we've loved each other right here and right now. I believe we will have a very unique and special relationship then because of our love for each other now. I got her permission to share this, but ever since we've been married, we've talked about this. She kind of has this little fear that in heaven, like once we get there, that I'm going to run off and go do all these other things and not want to hang out with her. This is actually pretty common. This is actually pretty common in marriages, okay? But what she doesn't realize, I keep reminding her, she's the one who's got it going on, right? It's probably going to be me following her around. When are you going to hang out with me? Stop doing all that other stuff. I want to hang out. But listen, part of this fear comes from, in Matthew 22, Jesus tells us that there's no more marriage in heaven. People won't be married or given in marriage to each other anymore. And so, but listen, that doesn't mean that the relationships disappear. That doesn't mean that the love that was given here, heaven can still show up here, right? That doesn't mean that the love we've had here isn't real and won't impact there. No, so it's an unfounded fear. And listen, if we really want to get real about it, here's the truth, okay? I am a sinner. Surprise, right? I can be so selfish. I really can. Okay, so listen. If I really wanted to here in this life, if I really wanted to, I could leave now. All right? If I really wanted to be that selfish, I could leave now. Now, it would cause unimaginable pain to my wife and my boys, but if I really wanted to do that, I could leave now. But you got to hear me. I don't want to. I don't want to. I can't imagine life without her. I'm so in love with her. I love her more than any other person on the planet. God put us together. I like her so much. She's the person I want to hang out with the most right here and right now. I'm not going anywhere. I choose to spend life each and every day with her, right? So think about this. How much more when we get to heaven and all of our sin and selfishness is gone, how much more are we going to want to be together? You seeing this? So listen to me. You won't find me and Rach in heaven. We'll either be in the throne room having a dance party with Jesus, or we'll be in that house that's on the beach, that's on the mountain, that's by the lake. Okay? You're invited anytime. You want to come over, you just do it, all right? Okay, but here's the other way I think that our relationships now will be uniquely special then, okay? I believe with all my heart that you will have a very unique connection then to the people you help lead to Jesus now. Come on, we see this principle all throughout the Bible. Think about this. Jesus says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Okay, there's a lot of ways we could look at that verse, okay, but really at the heart of it, what does God treasure the most? Relationships and who needs to be in a relationship? People. Come on. God values people. God treasures people. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. It's about people. Yeah, there are lots of different disciple methods we could use, disciple making methods. Man, we can give, we can serve, we can invite people, we can share Jesus with people, we can encourage people, we can support them and come around them. Come on, those are all methods for helping other people know Jesus. But at the end of the day, it's all about storing up treasures. It's all about people in heaven. It's all about you doing your part. Listen, Paul says this over and over again. He says, I can't wait till I can present the people that I've led to Jesus. He says, I can't wait, God. I'm going to present to you this vast amount of people that I have led to you. I can't wait to bring them as an offering to you because I know how much you value people. It's about other people, church. The entire mission of Jesus that we're on as disciples to make more disciples is so that the fulfillment of God's plan can come to pass where his people are with him in paradise for eternity. I'm convinced that the people you help lead there will have an extra special relationship with you. In fact, many scholars actually believe that when you die and go to heaven, that those who helped lead you to Jesus will be the ones to welcome you in. Or that those people that maybe you helped lead to Jesus, but maybe they go on before you, they'll help welcome you in. Thank you for helping me get here too. Which once again, church, come on, it all points back to how our view of heaven to come will impact the way we live life right now. It just will. Listen, if you and I have a weak, unbiblical, confused view of heaven to come, we're probably not going to live that full disciple life of impact and significance where you bring heaven to earth here and now and therefore help other people enter into that life to come. So your relationships, you have to understand this. Your relationships now matter. The relationships you have now matter. They are a big deal. Who you know and how you are known by them matters. Your reputation matters. And listen, yes, we won't fully experience zero sin or zero pain or sorrow or regret or selfishness. We won't experience that until that day. But that doesn't mean that we can't keep following Jesus here and now so that he can continue to drive that sin and selfishness out of our lives right now. We must. We've got to do that, and you've got to see this. As you allow Jesus to drive sin and selfishness out of your life and be himself through you, the people you are in relationships with are going to get a bigger and bigger taste of heaven through you. They're going to experience it. They're going to experience Jesus. Family, I want you to set your hearts on heaven. I want you to be thinking about the realities of heaven, what it's like. Dream about it so that you can recognize when they're lacking in your life right now. And in your home right now. And in your marriage right now. And with your kids. And your other relationships. And at your job, with your coworkers. And in this town. So that we won't just put it off till another day, or that so that we won't just put up with hell on earth, but that we'll blow it up. We'll say, Jesus, your will be done. Your kingdom come. Have your way through me. Keep driving sin and selfishness out of my lives. Jesus, I want you to bring heaven down through me here and now. You don't have to live with all that relational awkwardness, all that garbage, all that the disgruntledness, the bitterness, the anger, the unforgiveness. You can allow the Holy Spirit to move in and through your life. You can allow heaven to come down through you. Jesus loves you. He can do it. Come on, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You can be known for those things. That can be your reputation. This is going to be strong. But listen to me, if you don't want to allow heaven to come down through you, if you just don't have a desire to repent, to allow Jesus to change you, if there's an unwillingness to change, especially, listen, with those things that you know that God does not want you to keep doing. Listen, if, at the end of the day, if there's an unwillingness, if there's no desire, then at some point we have to ask the question, do you really know him? Because knowing God now changes everything now. It's eternal life, not one day, now. Now, and the way you live it now will impact your heavenly eternity to come. So listen to me, we're going to talk about that next week. What will heaven, what will eternity really look like? What will we do for eternity? And but Here it is. Listen, how do the choices we make now, how does the way we live right now impact our, I'm not even talking about hell, I'm talking about our heavenly realities to come. How will that impact it, okay? But listen, don't miss that. Don't miss next week. And come on, invite a friend. Invite some, who in your life needs heaven right now? Grab that sit with me card. Hand it out this week. Don't wait till Easter. Bring somebody with you next week. Let's let heaven, that's one way that heaven can move through you into the lives of life of another person. What happens when you just simply give an invite to somebody, but you say, I want you to sit with me? That's a disciple move right there. Okay, but then they actually show up. And what happens when God does the miraculous in their life? What happens when eternal life gets poured out into them? And you got to play a part. Come on, don't let fear, oh, what do they say? Maybe it'll be awkward. Forget all that. What if you just say, man, I'm going to allow heaven to show up in and through me. I'm going to invite some people. We're going to see heaven show up in and through them. Amen? So listen, here's my question for today, though. What is a current reality of heaven? What's in heaven that's not in your life right now? What are some current heavenly realities that aren't reality for you? Maybe there is relational pain right now. And maybe if you're honest this morning, maybe the choices you're making are like, those are the things that are causing that pain. Okay, how would knowing God right here and right now make you change the way you're living life in that circumstance? Maybe there's unforgiveness. Maybe you need to forgive somebody. Maybe there's forgiveness. Maybe you need to ask for forgiveness. Maybe there's drama. Maybe you're really good at giving the silent treatment. Man, your step would be, how do I start giving affirmation and encouragement instead? Come on, maybe there's unfaithfulness or bitterness or anger, and it's impacting your relationships. Maybe there's fear of just relationally sharing heaven or inviting or sharing Jesus with somebody. I'm telling you, you don't have to stay that way. How does knowing God right now change the way you're going to live right now? Because I think, man, we probably, as we ask these questions, I think we all probably know that we know that we know there's this thing. I know God's wanting me to take this step. I know God's wanting me to go this direction. What happens if we do it? And in the process, listen to me. What if today you take that step, you do what Jesus wants you to do, and you start building your reputation, you start becoming that person who brings heaven with them. Amen? I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Let's pray together. Come on, what's the Holy Spirit saying to you today? What's He saying to you? What's a heavenly reality that's not a reality for you right now? And just listen with so much grace, but here's the question, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do with the anger? What are you going to do with the, what are you going to do with the unforgiveness? That unforgiveness is not for you. Maybe you need to forgive somebody. Maybe you need to ask for forgiveness. And here's my encouragement. Let's not just let this time pass. Let's let this be the time where we say, God, what do you want me to do about it? And we make an action plan. So maybe you need to forgive somebody. Maybe you need to ask for forgiveness. And so you say, well, I'm today's the day. I'm taking the step. I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to call that person. Or I'm making the choice in my heart today. Today's the day I'm forgiving them. How do you need to let go of anger? How do you need to allow heaven to come into your marriage or come into your home? what needs to stop, and then what fruit of the Holy Spirit needs to show up. What if we pray and ask God, God, I want it. I want your ways. I want you to invade through me. Oh, let's pray. Jesus, we want you to have your way in our lives. Come on, if you believe that, if you want that, tell him. Just mean it. God, I want you to have your way in my life. Your will be done. Your kingdom come on earth, here in my life, as it is in heaven. Change me. Help me. God, I confess that this is the pain I'm causing in this relationship, or this is where I'm lacking in this relationship. This is the unforgiveness I have. I don't want it anymore. God, help me. Set me free. Maybe today's the day you need to give your life to Jesus for the very first time. Maybe if you're just honest, you have not known him yet. Well, today can be the day. God, I want to know you. Tell him that. Come on, we just laid out the gospel this morning, what Jesus has done for you. He loves you. He came for you. He wants you to be a part of the family. What if you tell him right here and right now, God, I want to be in the family. I receive Jesus into my life. Heaven come down in and through me. I want to be reborn. I'm telling you, if you pray that and you mean that, God answers that prayer all day long. God, we want you to have your way in our lives. And let's just commit. God, I hear you talking to me, and I'm gonna take the step you're telling me to take. Let your will be done. God, let it be done in this church family and through this church family. We wanna see our city be reborn. So have your way. Let heaven come to earth. We love you, Jesus. We can't get over you, Jesus. And it's in your name we pray. And my whole church family said.
Thanks for joining us today. Please know you're always welcome to worship with us on Sunday mornings. Also, if you would like to give to our ministry, you can go to our website at apeopleinthercity.com. We hope to see you soon, and God bless.